Hello and welcome to the Thursday, September 12th, 2013 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm the recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Let's start with diaries, and we do have another great guest diary by Tom Webb to start out with here. Tom is writing about our syslog and how to use its filters. Syslog is often sort of the overlooked part of your security system. It just works, which of course is fine, but over the last few years, many operating systems moved away from the good old standard syslog to newer solutions like our syslog and syslog and Many times the user or the system administrator didn't even notice because in particular for our syslog, the configuration looks very much the same, but there are a bunch of new options when it comes to setting up more granular filters and such. So this is something Tom explains in his diary. If you're using Unix, if you're using syslog, take a look at what he has to show here. And then we got two diaries that really more pertain to yesterday's news. First of all, we do have a quick Reboot Wednesday diary here, talking about some of the problems people were having with patches. There were two patches that were not security related that caused some problems. First of all, we do have the one patch that caused Outlook to lose its folders. That has been discussed yesterday. There's also a second patch that just takes an awful long time to apply. We have seen reports with 30 to 45 minutes. That patch, according to the description, does update some security-related warning messages and such, so maybe it has to touch a lot of files or wait for these files to be closed. Not really sure what causes this problem. It's not very consistent, but we had some reports from users about just this happening. Then, of course, another big news item yesterday was the release of a fingerprint sensor in Apple's iPhone 5S. Today, there was a lot of press about what the sensor does and how it exactly works, and whether it is a significant improvement over the current concept of pins and passwords. Now, first of all, the way this particular implementation appears to work is that it's either the fingerprint or a password. So it's not really two-factor authentication, in a sense where you have biometrics like a fingerprint and a password. But regardless, the problem of mobile authentication is really hard and something a lot of people struggle with. We have seen, for example, Android implement some facial recognition, but usually you can just bypass. It's really meant as a convenience feature in Android. If the facial recognition doesn't work, just close it out and then use the input method like a pattern in Android or a password again. Now, the way fingerprint sensors usually work is that they take an image of the fingerprint, but then they don't store the image or don't use the image actually to match it to a reference image, but instead they try to identify certain standard features in a fingerprint and then compare that feature set to whatever reference set was stored. And apparently that is what Apple is doing. So the image of the fingerprint is not stored. Instead, these feature identifiers are stored, and that's where Apple gets a little bit secretive, but they have what they call this secure enclave inside their A7 processor where this information is stored. Now, according to Apple, the data is not sent out of the phone, it's kept on the phone itself, so it's not backed up, and nobody else but the owner of the phone has access to that information. Now, the problem is this any better than a password? It's probably better than a four-digit PIN, but really has to be seen how well this fingerprint sensor works. If these fingerprint sensors don't work very well, then they don't have a lot of features to work with, so it's then pretty easy to fool them, for example, with the famous rubber finger trick or even simpler versions, like, for example, photocopied fingerprints. Now, one problem for the attacker, of course, is to obtain a clean copy of the user's fingerprint. That may actually not be that hard in the case of the iPhone, because typically the surface of the iPhone does attract fingerprints to some extent, so it may be possible to actually just lift a fingerprint off the iPhone itself. Well, and that's it for today, so thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.